Amen. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water. Let the one who believes in Jesus drink. As the scriptures have said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Today we gather to feast upon the bread of life and to quench our thirst with the living water. In order to better receive God's blessings, we need to let go and be reconciled with ourselves, all people, and God through confession. Let us pray together the prayer on the screens. Almighty God, maker of all things,
have mercy on us.
Jesus Christ, redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
Holy Spirit, giver of life,
have mercy on us.
With thanks to God who made heaven and earth, let go of your stress and burdens. Enfolded by Christ, the Good Shepherd, give into his loving care those who you love and are concerned about. Trusting the gifts of the Spirit for the people of God, let go all anxiety about things left undone. Grasping the promises of God, acknowledge any fears that hold you back. Celebrating the grace of God, forgive and confess the ways you live in disharmony with yourself, others, God, and creation. Together, let us continue our prayer. Merciful God, we confess that we are unworthy servants. We have broken faith with you in thought and word and deed. We are ashamed of the evil that dwells within us. And we confess that our very best falls far short of your vision for us. Forgive our sin for Jesus' sake, and restore us to fellowship with you and all your holy ones. Amen. We affirm with the Apostle Paul that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. We are forgiven, eager to receive God's blessings. Examining your life, being reconciled with all, confessing your sins, is a critical step and beginning to celebrate the Lord's Supper. When I was serving the First Presbyterian Church of Maumee, I came across some very interesting session minutes from 1820. They took preparing for the Lord's Supper very seriously. To receive Holy Communion back then, you needed a little wooden token. The week before communion, the elders would gather and look over the rolls of the church, name by name, sharing any potential sinful behavior of each member. Every member was then visited by one of the elders. New elders, do you want to sign on? No? Speaking the truth in love, they were asked to confess their sins. If the elder was satisfied that it was a full and sincere confession, that they were truly repenting and would strive to sin no more, then they received a token to the Lord's Supper. It kind of makes, you know, if you thought that silence was long at times at the beginning, it kind of makes that seem relatively easy and less painful, doesn't it? Today we have open communion. All who trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior are welcome to partake of the spiritual nourishment which Jesus has prepared for you. However, we still sincerely hope and pray that every person prayerfully prepares themselves for Holy Communion by self-examination, confession, reconciliation, and repentance. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of Jesus irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on Jesus at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be a part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. Come to this meal in holy awe. For the bread and juice is fortified with the Holy Spirit, a medium of God's grace to forgive, heal, transform, and redeem you." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I abide in him or her." The Lord's Supper is a holy mystery with an abundance of blessings, experiences, symbolisms, and transformations. It is impossible to capture all that is going on in this feast in a name, so we use several different names, such as the agape meal. Agape means supreme, sacrificial, perfect, eternal love. Therefore, this is a meal in which we feast upon God's love, are filled with love, and are enabled to love God, other people, and ourselves. Another name is Holy Communion, for the Holy Spirit unites us with God, each other, and all people across time and space. John Calvin shared that sometimes when he celebrated Holy Communion, he felt that he was lifted into heaven, united with God, and reunited with family who had died and gone to heaven. Several people have shared with me that in celebrating the Holy Communion, that they too feel the loving presence of someone who lives far away or someone who is now in heaven. Another name is the Lord's Supper. For we are nourished by God with all we need, nourished with hope, peace, grace, love, and joy. Another name is the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving, which brings us right to another name, the Great Thanksgiving. Jesus thanked God before sharing and partaking this meal. Thanksgiving is a central part of this feast. We are invited to thank God for all God is doing in our lives and in the world. When we celebrate this feast, we are invited to remember that God loves us and thank God. There are several views of exactly what is going on as we celebrate the Eucharist. Some denominations and people believe that the elements, the bread and juice, undergo a physical change and become holy, sacred, a vessel for the grace and blessings of God. This is called transubstantiation. Another view, since Jesus is omnipresent, that Jesus is physically present there in the bread and juice. This is called the doctrine of ubiquity. Still another view is we celebrate the great Thanksgiving to remember. The bread and juice are there to remind us of Jesus and all God has done through Jesus. Many Presbyterians believe that there is a Holy Spirit presence in the bread and juice. As we partake of the bread and juice, we are inviting the Holy Spirit into us to forgive, transform, and bless us. As we partake, we receive abundant life and are enabled to serve God and are sustained by the Holy Spirit. The Lord's Supper is a sign and also a seal of being a cherished member of God's family, who will be resurrected with our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. The bread and juice is a sign of the covenant, the gospel, the good news, the kingdom of heaven, and a foretaste of the banquet of heaven, where we will all feast with God, the angels, and all the saints for eternity. Here in this church, we celebrate communion generally in two ways. One way, usually done in the sanctuary, we use our best linen napkins and silver trays, symbolizing the holiness of this meal, that we're striving to give our very best to God. This way needs to be prepared, the bread cubed, the juice poured into cups, symbolizing how we are to prepare ourselves to celebrate the meal. We pass the trays, serving each other, symbolizing that we are a family and eager to serve like Jesus served as he knelt down and washed the disciples' feet, celebrating this meal. We partake of the bread and juice at the same time, symbolizing that we are all reconciled and united and are one in Christ. During the time the bread is shared, we can reflect and give our thanks to God. During the time the juice is shared, we can imagine how God is nourishing us, transforming us, and calling us into abundant life. Another way we celebrate communion is intinction. This way symbolizes our unity, community, and being a family, for there is one loaf of bread and one pitcher of juice that is shared, from which all are nourished. This way is simple, symbolizing that all are welcome. All are invited. The table is down on the floor at the same level as everyone, symbolizing that God comes, finds us, and meets us where we are. And the walking, with each step, the movement, symbolizes what God is doing in our lives, forgiving, healing, transforming, redeeming, moving us from darkness to light, moving us from sin to righteousness, moving us from broken to whole. The singing enables each person to voice their thanks and to praise God and symbolize our desire to go out and live in harmony. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the living water." The psalmist declared, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God." Through each day, the Lord pours God's unfailing love upon me. And through each night, I sing God's songs, praying to God who gives me life. Jesus has compassion on everyone. Jesus healed the sick and made people whole. Therefore, a large crowd followed Jesus. The crowd was starving, so Jesus fed a crowd of over 10,000 people from a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Everyone ate until they were fully satisfied, and then there were 12 basketfuls left over. The crowd was amazed by this physical miracle. Jesus satisfied their physical hunger. Jesus longs to do so very much more, to satisfy all our needs. Yes, to satisfy our physical needs, but also our emotional and spiritual needs for eternity. Jesus longs to nourish us so we can experience God's extravagant love and abounding, ceaseless joy. Kingear prayed, "Help me, O God, to live the recipe before I give the recipe. Give me the needing strength to work your words into the doughy recesses of my life. Help me to leave it alone a while so it can rise. Help me not to fear the oven so it can bake. And grant that in the baking, the world would be able to roll down its window and savor the aroma of freshly baked bread. Amen.